First Peter chapter number 1 this morning. First Peter chapter number 1. I don't normally do this. Even before this happened with my mom, I had felt impressed to bring this series of messages again. And I say again, many of you were not here when I first came 5.5 years ago. And some of you that were here may not remember the messages, or maybe you need a refresher on these things. I think I had a show of hands and nobody raised their hand remembering me preaching on this, but very important in what we're going through. We've got a lot of folks in our church going through trials, okay? A lot of folks, including the preacher, okay, going through trials. And Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we know that to be the case, don't we? You know, we say amen right there. even those of us who rejoice in Christ and rest in the salvation that He gives, even we suffer grief of all kinds of trials and tribulations in this life. Even those that serve the Lord. You know, pastors are not exempt. You know, just because you're serving the Lord don't mean you're exempt from the troubles and trials of life. I'm glad that we have a help, though. Amen. We're not exempt from the troubles and trials, but listen, I've got some help that the world don't have. Mm-hmm. I'd hate to think about going through this, and there was some people that were in the room up there in the waiting room, going through some difficult trials right alongside the 41-year-old man who they still don't know what happened. They thought he had a stroke. And he's been up there in the intensive care unit for almost a week now, I think. I think it was a week today. This happened last Sunday morning as they were going to be going to church. His wife found him in the floor. And when they took him there, they thought he had a stroke. Well, come to find out, he's got trauma in the head. He hit his head. Don't know if he fainted and fell on the floor and it crushed his skull or whatever, but there's some other things that are going on there. But people going through trials, people going through troubles. And, you know, a girl goes to church, but some of the words coming out of her mouth were, you could tell she wasn't really depending on the Lord during this circumstance. You know, I mean, I know we're going through some difficult stuff with my mom, but listen, I got complete peace about what's going on. I know who's in control. There's no need to worry. Worrying don't do nothing but mess me up. You realize that? You know, worry just is just going to take and make you have physical problems and emotional problems. And we know my mom is saved. Okay, she's been saved numbers of years. She's served the Lord. She's lived a good long life. She turns 80 years old this year, and we know she's had. We knew that this time was going to come. We knew that we were facing. In fact, I verbalized it to this congregation that any time that she gets any little thing going on with her lungs, that it could possibly be deadly for her because she has the COPD, she has the chronic bronchitis, and when this pneumonia, real bad pneumonia in one lung, you know, things were not looking real good. But in the midst of it all, we have peace. And we can have peace because in the midst of the trials, we have help. And we know who's in control. Look here at 1 Peter 1. Look at verse 3. It says here, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, that's a mouthful, but that's a great mouthful. Amen. You know, we've been born again by God's abundant mercy unto a lively hope, because we can know it's a lively hope because Jesus arose from the grave. Amen. We sang a while ago, He lives. Amen. That's what we led in with this morning. He lives. He lives. And because He lives, we know that we're going to live. I mean, should what's happening with my mom, should it take her physical life? I know she lives. Okay? And the peace that she lives. She's not dead. You know? She won't be dead. My father died 16 years ago. In this life, he died. But he was just absent from the body and present with the Lord. Noah will see him again one day. Huh? And two people got saved at his funeral. They have life. God got the glory. That's what we pray for. Pray for, you know, we know that God gives us help, but as we go through trials, we don't want to waste the trials that God sends our way. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. Don't waste your trials. Now, whether we're talking life or death issues, or we're talking about relationship issues, whether we're talking whatever trial that you're facing today, every one of us has got some sort of difficulty we're dealing with, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, whether it be whatever. You've got something that you're dealing with. But don't waste what the Lord has allowed to come your way. The Lord has allowed it to come your way for a purpose. Okay? When the Lord has allowed this to come our way for a purpose. I want us to see this today. Let's get back to reading the Scripture. I'm not through reading yet, okay? Maybe just talking about the lively hope, that resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a blessedness that is. It says, and, you know, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, that's another mouthful. Amen? Talks about our inheritance. What kind it is? Well, you know, it's not like the inheritance you get in this world. No. I think I've said before, you know, part of my inheritance from my dad was a little pickup truck. Well, I traded it in. Why? Because it corrupted. It was corruptible. It was giving up the ghost. It wasn't going to run anymore. But listen, the kind that I got from my Heavenly Father, the kind of inheritance I got is an incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's not going to fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for me. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now here in verse 6 is where we want to be at. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. We rejoice in our faith. Amen. We rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in these things that we just read about. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Okay? For a period of time, a short period of time. And in the light of eternity, it is short. Okay? Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. But there's a purpose. Look, the purpose, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you wonder where that song comes from, joy unspeakable, full of glory, it comes from that passage right there. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Author and preacher George Sweeting said there are three things to remember concerning trials. He said, first of all, trials are the common experience of us all. In other words, nobody's immune. Nobody's immune. Trials are a part of living. And in fact, Scripture tells us as much. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Apostle Paul said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. It's common to man. In other words, we all suffer trials. Your trials may be different than mine, but somebody's going through something similar than what you're going through. You know, you're not alone in the trials that you're facing. There's somebody else that has gone through that trial or is going through that trial. It's common to man, no matter how severe it may be or how light it may be. Somebody else has gone through that trial. So trials are a common experience of us all. Second thing, he said that trials are transitory. And that is this. Trials, though they're difficult, are for a little while. They're for a little while. What it says here, now for a season. Just a season. As we pass through this life is short compared to eternity. I said my mom, she's 79 years old. She's going to be turning 80 in November. Some of you are higher than that. Some of you are right near that. But listen, in perspective of the world, they look at it and say, she lived a pretty long life. But in light of eternity, it's just a brief moment. It's just a vapor. It's just a little while. And the trials of this life, I understand, are very small compared to the glory of eternity. Okay? She's going to have all eternity with a glorified body that is going to be made whole, with a rejoined with my dad, in eternity. Yeah. Great. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Trials are transitory. They're difficult for a little while. And then, number three, trials are lessons that shouldn't be wasted. And that's where I want to focus. They're lessons that shouldn't be wasted. Though not enjoyable or necessarily good in themselves, trials constitute a divine work for our ultimate good. Jesus never promised an easy journey, but He did promise a safe landing for the child of God. Amen? Now that goes right along with what I want to say in this message and in the messages to come on this subject. And I don't normally do this. I don't normally re-preach a series, but I felt like it's needed. Okay? Like I said, many of you were not here. You've come in our church. Since that point, I preached this I came in June of 2008. I preached it in July, so it was very early on in my ministry here that I preached a series on this, and it's not going to be exactly the same anyway. I go through and retweak it, and I guarantee you the first 10-15 minutes of this is not the same as what I'm living it right now. Amen. We were living it back then, but in a different way. Okay. If you remember Callie, my second granddaughter, had just been born as we moved here. And she had a hole in her diaphragm, and we came very, very close to losing her. She had to have surgery. She'd been alive 4 days, and they had to do surgery at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. We were going through a difficult trial at that time, and I preached this series because God laid it on my heart during that time. Don't waste this time. There's a reason for this that you're going through, and don't waste the trials. And it's a good thing to remember it. It's a good thing to revisit, I believe, because we are prone to forget. And by the way, I will give you a handout on this. No time to do handouts this week. Okay, I did good to get the message done. But no time for handouts, but I will give you a handout at the end because I don't want you to take and I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. But the passages that we're going to be talking about, they will be on that handout. These points will be on there. Encourage you to take notes. That's good. When you write it down, it kind of helps you. But I will give something later on that you can keep. And as you're going through trials, to know that it's there. Just like the handout I gave you on the last little series. When you got dealing with strongholds, and you need something that you can look at and recall the message. So, we'll give you something to help you in that area, but we just don't have it we don't have it in your hand today. Now, we who are saved, we know that through Christ our Savior, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. Amen. Through the blood of Christ. That's a great blessing. We also know that through Christ we've been saved or delivered from the power of sin through His blood. And that's what we were talking about the last several weeks when we were talking about the help we needed for those strongholds that come in our lives. So thank God, that second aspect of salvation, He's given us help with the power of sin. Sin doesn't have to have dominion over us anymore. Yeah, it wants to have dominion, but it doesn't have to have dominion. We have the help of the Lord, and have His Holy Spirit, and the access of things that He's given us to help us, as we talked about. But we also know that through Christ, one day soon, we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. Amen. But until then, we still live in a sin-cursed world. And in this flesh that has been affected so very deeply by sin that we were born with, because of that sin and because of what we're facing, we still face trials and temptations while we're here. Now, in our text here, we see that Peter wanted to assure these Christians that he addressed of their hope in Christ as they faced many different kinds of trials and temptations. Now, today I want to bring you the first message on this subject: don't waste your trials. And today, I want us to see this. The first two points of this, and I don't even know that we're going to get past the first point this morning, because it's a long introduction. Okay, and I know that you have a hard time absorbing more than your seat can endure. I know that, and so I try to keep that in mind. I'm not one to preach normally hour and a half. I know there are preachers that do that. I know I used to have a pastor that did that, and sometimes it was good, sometimes it was not so good. You know, when you're sitting there and you just kind of wearing on you a little bit. We'll see how far we can get in this morning. First thing I want you to see, though, is this: we waste our trials when we don't see them as being designed by God for us. Okay? We'll say that again. We waste our trials when we don't see them as being designed by God for us. Now, I want you to stay with me, or else you might misunderstand, and you might get discouraged, or you might even get mad at God. You say, God designs our trials? Yeah. God has His hand right there. I mean, you need to listen closely, though. God designs our trials for us. Look at Job chapter number 23. Book of Job chapter number 23. Now, if anybody ever had any difficult trials, it was Job. As you look at Job, the book of Job, and in my Bible reading, I'm reading the Bible chronologically. I've already been through the book of Job because it's the oldest book. Job is the oldest book, and the Bible reading and the chronological will take you through the creation and issues, and then it turns to the book of Job, and then it goes back to Genesis. It flips between the two, but already been through the book of Job because it's a very old book. But it's about the trials of Job. But really, it's about God's work in Job's life. We can look at the thing and we kind of shake our heads and we say, well, why would God do such a thing? Why would He allow His child to go through the difficulties like what Job went through? Now, understand, Job was a righteous man. He was saved. He not only saved, but he was living for God. He prayed for his family. The Bible says he eschewed evil. In other words, that was not something. If something was evil, he stayed away from it. Okay, that's not something he fooled himself to in any way. So this was not chastening, as we think of chastening, that he was had some sin in his life. And that's what his friends thought. And, you know, Job, you just got some sin in your life, and you need to get right with God, man, and you get right with God, and things will return in your life. No, that wasn't it. Wasn't it at all. They had it wrong. Job's friends had it wrong. Job's wife had it wrong. Job had it wrong. He's thinking here, God don't know what he's doing. You know, I don't deserve this. Let's look at Job 23. Look at verse 1. And Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him." He's talking about God. "That I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." You know, he's wanting to make his case before God. So just wait, Job, you're going to get your chance. He does get his chance later in the book. Okay? And he winds up putting his hand over his mouth. Look at verse 5. He says, I would know the words which he would answer me. So I just want to hear from God, is what he's saying. And understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. What do we see here? Job is saying, man, I just can't see God at all. You know, sometimes our circumstances cloud our view. You say, well, I can't see what God's doing in all this. It's very easy for us to get caught up in that's the way of the world. That's what was verbalized in the waiting room one day this week by this family that's going through such tragedy. A young wife who had got twin teenage daughters and a teenage son. And you know, her question, why? You know, I just don't understand why. Now, all I want is I just want my husband back. You know? And by the way, he did call out. He did know his name yesterday. And then he knew her name. He called out her name. So there was some joy there in the room two times yesterday while we were sitting there. But we get to the point sometimes, even, you know, that girl's no different than the rest of us. No different than Job. We sometimes want to be able to find God in a situation. Where is he at? If I could find him, I just want to ask Lord, why am I going through this? But we need to be like Job. Even in all this scenario of him saying, you know, I wish I could get my case before him. I can't seem to find him in this. But notice what he says in verse 10. Said, but he, God knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In other words, I think Job is saying, I don't want to waste the trial that I'm going through. You know, when he knows the way that I take. God knows my life. God knows me better than I know myself. And when he's tried me, and he's going through difficult trials, he said, I shall come forth as gold. Think about the trial of gold and silver. It comes from heat, doesn't it? We need to realize that when the heat gets turned up in our life, God's hand is on the thermostat. Okay? Psalm 66 and verse number 10 says, for thou, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Well, how is silver tried? Same way gold is tried. Or purified, we would say. It's purified, tried with heat, with fire or heat. What does heat do when it's applied to silver or gold? Well, it causes the impurities, the dross, we would say, to separate from the gold. You know, we need the dross in our life, the worthlessness things of life, to be separated out. In this process, the gold, understand, the gold loses none of its nature when heat is applied. It is only purified and becomes more valuable. Think about that. God wants to increase your value to Him. He wants to purify the impurities out of your life. Someone once said, fire is the test of gold, but adversity is the test of strong men. And that's true. In verse 7 of our text over there in 1 Peter, it says that our faith is more precious than gold. That God allows our faith to be tried. Again, I refer to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But let's take the next emphasis. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. In other words, God's got His hand on the thermostat. You might think, I can't take any more. God knows what you can take if you will lean upon Him. That's right. Sometimes we're ready to throw up our hands and say, I'm at my limit, when God knows that we're not at our limit. That we may need to be pushed a little more to lean in our dependence upon Him. It will not do for us to say that God only uses our trials, but does not design them, because what God permits, He permits for a reason. And that reason is His design. See? I mean, this whole thing with Job. God's the one that determined the parameters that Satan could bring forth the trouble in Job's life. Read chapter number 1, chapter number 2, you'll understand it. God said, okay, you can try, but you can't do this. God put the parameters on there. That's God's design. Amen? God designs it. God puts the limits on what He allows to come into your life. When God foresees a particular trial coming into our lives, He can choose to stop it or not. Sometimes God stops the trial. Sometimes God uses the trial. Since God is infinitely wise, it is right for us to call this purpose a design. We know that Satan and his forces are real, and they are the source of many temptations and trials. But listen, they don't have the final say in what trials happen in our lives, or in how difficult those trials become. And we're going to see more about that in a minute. But if we don't believe that trials that we face are designed by God for us, by God, then what's going to happen? We're going to waste those trials. And by waste, I mean we'll miss the blessing that God has for us in and through those trials. We'll miss the blessing. We waste our trials when we don't see them as being designed by God for us. Second thing, and I'm just going to give it out to you, and we'll come back and we'll look at it next time. But we waste our trials when we don't see them as being designed by God for His glory. Okay? The trials are for us, but they are also for His glory. God is molding us and making us, but they're to mold us and make us and to be more like Him, to be more in His image. And the more we're in His image, the more glory He gets out of our lives. Okay. Let me just touch on this. (Clears throat) Revelation 4:11 says, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Okay, God created all, and it's all created for His pleasure. Colossians 1:16 says, "For all things were created by Him and for Him." It's all about God. And, you know, well, why are we here? Well, it's for God's purposes and for His glory. Romans 11:36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things." Over and over again in Scripture, it tells us. It's all about God. And that's why 1 Corinthians 10:31, we need to memorize it and we need to practice it. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do." Okay, if it gets down to eating and drinking, that's pretty basic, isn't it? We all going to eat and drink when we go home. We ate and drank before we came here this morning, most of us, I think. I ain't missed it. Certainly haven't missed any meals. Okay. You look at me and tell that. I'm planning on eating after this. That whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. Now, does that include suffering? Yeah. Whatsoever you do. Facing difficult trials? Uh-huh. Facing temptations? Yep. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you're going through this morning, make the primary purpose in your life, God's primary purpose. And that is His glory. His glory. Tell God, say, "God, I want you to get glory out of this that I'm going through. Lord, help me to give you the glory. Help your glory be shown through me in my life as I'm going through this difficult trial. Lord, help me not to diminish your glory." You know, when we don't handle things right, God doesn't get the glory, does He? We can choose to glorify Him, and if we don't glorify Him, you know, it just kind of brings reproach to His name. May God help us not bring reproach. Look at the trial. God has designed it for you. He's designed it for your good and for His glory. Remember those two things this morning. And we're going to come back and we're going to look at this a little more deeply next time. When we look at it being designed for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank You how You've given examples in Scripture. The life of Job is just a prime example, Lord, of what we're talking about here. And each of us, you know, we look at ourselves and we think, well, you know, there's some things I can't go through. But Lord, we know that we can go through whatever that You have determined that we can. If You've designed something for us, help us not look at it and say, well, I can't do this. But Lord, help us to look at it and say, well, I can do this through Christ. I can do this with God's help. I can go through this trial and give God the glory in my life. Lord, help us to see that. And God, we just pray this morning. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior. And it's very easy to waste trials if you don't know Jesus. Because it is sometimes the trials, I believe, come into a life of a individual who's lost to get them to look to You, look up for salvation. But Lord, that's not for us to judge. It's for that person to look in their life and see, do they know You? If there's one here today that doesn't know You, may today be the day they come to know You as Lord and Savior. But those of us that are born again, Lord, help us to